Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Carolyn Franzini and Fred Howes with the Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
You're welcome.
Now, I really wanted to talk a little bit about this group's beginnings. Lots of us who live in the area kind of vaguely are aware that there's a park on Rodburn Hollow, but it's a little gem that's kind of tucked away. So tell me a little bit about this group's origin.
Well, the idea of Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park all started in January of 2018. We were having a Sustainable Morehead meeting, and we were just sort of brainstorming about some new ideas. What does the community need? What could we do to contribute to our community in a sustainable manner? And quietly, I said, I think maybe we should work with Rodburn Hollow Park. Nobody said a word. Within the next 2 weeks, I got about 4 emails. Carolyn, and some people weren't even there that sent emails. They said, Carolyn, that's a great idea. I want to be involved. And boy, when people say, I want to be involved, my ears perk up. So we had some meetings, and we did a lot of different things, which I will share with you later, last year at Rodburn Park. And it's been a great outpouring of the community's efforts, and it's just been wonderful.
Now, this park has been around for quite some time. It's not like it's a new thing. And I'm sure when a group says, hey, we want to take a little bit of ownership for this particular place, there were quite a few things to do. But I wanted to ask about, you guys had some cleanup days last year?
Yes, we had, in April, we had our first one. We actually had 2 of them. And a lot of things were accomplished at that time. Actually, we had, I believe it was the football, MSU football team, as well as the soccer team showed up, as well as numerous community folks. So that was the initial cleanup. And really, from that point on, the park has gone uphill in terms of cleanliness.
Now, was there a lot of trash to pick up? Or, I mean, had somebody been dumping there?
Well,
or?
Initially, yes. And so we cleaned it all up, and then in time, with the Friends of Rodburn being out there picking up trash almost on a daily basis, it became quite evident that the raccoons, the possums, and crows would get into the garbage cans and scatter it. The wind would blow it away. And what we see right now is that there's a very concerted effort by the public to put trash in the trash cans and find a very minimal litter that is just blatantly discarded.
That's good. That's not a huge change, but a good thing to see happening.
Oh, yes. And through that cleanup process, efforts began to kind of restore the park, the old campsites, picnic areas, and old trails that have been there. It continues to this day now, where we've just found another small little trail that has about 4 or 5 old picnic sites there. You can't hardly see them, but we're going to restore them during our next cleanup.
And I mean, I didn't even realize there were campsites out there at all.
There's 12 campsites and approximately 15 or 16 old picnic sites. Back in the 70s, and matter of fact, Carolyn's family and my family, we were camping there in the 1970s. And so, we all have an attachment to it, but Carolyn's family and my family probably, matter of fact, Carolyn and them used to go out and cook pancakes.
Yes.
in the morning. But
well, I think that when I go to the park, I mean, I see the facilities there, you know, the little trails that are close, and the actual, like, there's swing sets out there. And I think one time, I feel like there was some other equipment out there at one time, but I didn't realize that it extended big enough to have 16 different picnic sites and campsites. So how big is this place?
The park is 13.6 acres. And it's mostly entails that the city owns from the creek to the road. The U.S. Forest Service still owns where the loop trail is and areas on the other side of the creek.
Now, you guys have also been offering some educational days out at the park. Tell me a little bit about what happens on those and who's coming out for those.
Well, last October, Raven Ford, who is County Extension Agent over 4-H, and my wife, Debbie, got together and planned a 3-day environmental camp for 4th and 5th graders in the Moorhead area in Tilton Hog, Clearfield, and Rodburn schools came. And there were several stations that the kids would go like 20 or 30 minutes at a station, maybe 45 minutes at a station, and they taught archery, orienteering, and they hiked in that and learned how to read maps. There was a station that introduced kids to mammal skulls as part of the program. Animal tracks were there. They had stations that identified leaves and also there was a station that was about monarch butterflies. And so we learned about that. And that's pretty much what I – oh, we had beekeeping and stations on poison ivy
Did the kids seem to be pretty receptive? I mean, I would think that as the mother of boys, that these mammal skulls would be a huge hit with that age group.
They were, as well as all the other ones. The kids were just they're still talking about it at Tilton Hog. So, yes, it was – and it was all done in conjunction with the standards that had to apply to what teachers have to teach.
Now, are you planning to have those education days again?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right now, it's tentative.
Right. Wonderful. Now, you guys got some new signage through a grant. Tell me a little bit about that.
Right. The District Rotary Group awarded us a grant to improve signage. You know, since there's no one out there, everybody depends upon words on signs to direct them to the trails, the tree identification. Anyway, we are just beginning to execute those funds, and but within the next year, people will see a lot of new signs that will direct them and inform them. We hope to do a History of Rodburn sign. In conjunction with that, my husband and I, we have been trying to put new information in the bulletin board area, and I hope people will read that. Right now, there's one about snakes.
Is it already time for that?
Yeah, it is. we just want the park to look alive. We want it to be ready for people. We want to provide information. We want people to have a good time in nature.
Yeah, but Fred, you look very concerned about the snakes.
Oh no, I'm not concerned. I like snakes.
You like snakes?
Yeah, I'm a. My wife and I both are trained in biology, so we're
field biologists. But they're starting to come out now that it's warm.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Already.
And what the rec department will do is they'll incorporate individuals to go out there and more or less keep the understory cut down to some degree. And so, therefore, on the other side of the creek, it's all completely left alone. But they do take measures to try to... you know, help that situation.
So if you stay on the path, you're pretty safe.
Well, you have to use one eye looking down and one forward.
I know that's always a concern, especially here, because we have so many different types of snakes that are native to the area. A lot of us, me particularly, you see a snake and I want to go the other direction. I don't really take the chance to look at it close enough to tell what kind it is and if it's dangerous or not. I just want to get away from it.
If the eye looks like a cat eye, it's poisonous.
Okay.
If it's a round pupil, it's not poisonous. But you got to get close.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to get that close to a snake. Now, so the trails that are there, I mean, do they all loop around and come back? How's that?
There's actually two trails. One is a loop trail in the park, which is approximately 6/10 of an acre. So there's a couple bridges there at the park, and so if you head on one of those bridges, you'll find a trail, and really can't get lost as long as you keep bending to the left on the loop trail.
Because it's a loop.
And then there's a connector trail called Martin Branch Trail that runs from the park up to the Sheltoe, or at least a road leading to the Sheltoe there. So, and that's approximately 1.3 miles. But now, we're in the process right now. Dr. Ed Scott is changing the mileage on a map you might see out there because it overestimates the distance.
Okay. Oh, by overestimates.
Meaning the loop trail might be designated as 1.2 miles.
Okay.
Or something like that. It's, if you see it, the trails there are a lot shorter than what it's depicting, but that will be changed shortly.
Oh, good. Well, it's nice to know because a lot of us are counting our steps and trying to figure out exactly how far things are going. But I know that there's been trail runs on the Sheltoe, and I didn't know if they're starting, if any of them were starting at Rodburn.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't heard of one starting, but there might be one. Well, no, I have not heard of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I have not heard
I want
of
to say
it,
that there is one.
But so many people in our area really don't know the opportunities at Rodburn. And, you know, I mean, you can do that little loop trail, which how long did you say that was?
About 0.6 of a mile.
Yeah, so you could do that in about 15 minutes, and that would be really great if you want to get some more steps in during your lunch break.
Right, yeah, that's an easy, and it's not that far out.
Not at all.
And there's plenty of parking.
There's also another little trail that we hope to revitalize that is much shorter than that. It's just a little walk, maybe 0.1 of a mile.
Yeah.
And so, we have other plans, too, to hopefully open up, like, a trail along the creek on the park side, which would be the park length.
Right. Wonderful. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, this is Kinsey Thompson. I'm a senior studying strategic communication at Morehead State University. As a student work study at Morehead State Public Radio, I get the opportunity to do several things that I love, but mostly I enjoy interviewing people, writing my own features, and anchoring Mountain Edition. It's important to support this radio station because it allows students to get hands-on journalism experience. I have grown so much in my work since my first day here 3 years ago, and I credit all of that to MSPR and its amazing staff. Please help support Morehead State Public Radio during our spring fundraiser and membership drive. Use the secure online pledge form at wmky.org. Thanks so much for your support.
And we're back here on Open Mic on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Carolyn Franzini and Fred Howes with the Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
I wanted to talk a little bit about an event that you guys have coming up, the Iron Eagle Challenge. Now, tell me, that sounds a little daunting. What exactly are you going to be doing?
Well, Fred's a little bit more involved, so.
Well, the Iron Eagle Challenge, as far as I know, has to do with MSU students, maybe fraternities and sororities or independents, competing for a 24-hour period in community services around Morehead. So there's this organization has contacted organizations in Morehead that need, you know, help. And so for the kids are signing up, and it will be all through the 27th. So at that point, we will know how many kids will be coming to Rodburn. They'll be coming and spending one to two-hour shifts, depending if they have class or not. And then we have a multitude of jobs for them to do. So this will be happening on March the 29th.
Yeah, so there may be a lot of students out there, but you won't know until the day of.
We won't know until a couple days beforehand. So what we have enough work that...
what are the things that you guys are planning to have them do?
Well, we would have them go through the... On each side of Rodburn Hollow Road, pick up all the garbage from the park sign to the upper boundary limit, and then we would also have them pick up garbage within the park proper, meaning where the shelters are, and then pick up garbage in the creek as well as across the creek. Then we would be. We may be getting a load of gravel to put around Shelter 1, which over time has washed off, as well as a portion of a trail leading to Bridge 1, which is close to Shelter 1. We will also be restoring or cleaning off the old camp pads, raking leaves and things like that. We may restore the horseshoe pits, and we'll be cleaning bridges off. We'll be raking out the trail I had just talked, the small little trail that goes to several campsites, as well as removing woody debris from the trails, as well as the entire park. They'll be picking up sticks and piling them up.
I know those winds with the storms that we've had have knocked a lot of the small limbs.
They're small down. And when that's cleaned up, it looks a little better. Of course, you'll leave the bigger logs there for kids to dig through to find insects or whatever they want to find. Then we'll clean off tabletops perhaps, and do some trail maintenance.
So there's a decent to-do list, and then you guys might be having another cleanup day shortly following on April 6th?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it depends on how many kids we get. If we get a lot of students and by chance we get everything done, which I don't think we will, but we might, then we have one on April 6th, which will be a cleanup day and a membership drive day.
Okay. So if you want to be it's a member to be a Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park. Correct.
Right,
so what does that entail?
Well, the fees for being a friend of Rodburn Hollow are $10 a person or $15 a family.
Okay. And then you'll get to know a little bit more about the park, and you'll know when the cleanup days are. Now, you guys are looking for volunteers for the cleanup day?
Well, we're going to wait and determine how much there is to be done after the Iron Eagle Challenge, which is this Friday. So
we'll have a meeting
On
April 1st with our committee.
Right. Now, if someone were more interested in coming out and doing some work, volunteering an organization or an individual, how would they get in touch with you guys to find out what needs to be done on that big to-do list?
Well, they should just arrive with gloves on
yeah,
and just be ready to work. And I think we'll probably start about 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. I would
9
think
o'clock.
So
they can come this Friday. That would be great.
Oh, wonderful. Well, and that's part of the Iron Eagle Challenge. Community members and the students here at MSU are going to be part of that. Now, you also guys are planning for the Arbor Day celebration coming up April 27th. And what's going to happen with that particular event?
Well, we're not really too involved in that.
You're just going to host.
Yes. Laura Cottle is involved with the Tree City program in Moorhead, and so she is planning that. But we will certainly let the public know what is going on as time draws near.
That event will be held at 1 o'clock. On the 27th at the park. And so Friends of Rodburn, what we'll be doing is providing refreshments along with the garden club.
Wonderful. Now, one of the things that you guys have on your hopes and dreams list, I guess I should say, is doing some improvements to the bathroom facilities out there. Tell me what you guys would like to see happen with those facilities.
Well, in the bathrooms, at least in the ladies' room, historically there were two potties, and then as a result of laws requiring more space for handicapped accessible use, they got rid of one. And so, anyway, there's been some changes regarding some physical changes regarding the bathrooms, but to be honest, they are the original bathrooms from the 40s, and so they need. We hope the city will provide us with some new bathrooms. I think people will use them more, and they'll just be more acceptable.
So have you guys asked the city for...
We've discussed it.
We've talked with them, and they're well aware of this, and it may very well be the rec department or public works, because those guys do a lot out there, mm-hmm. as it is. So it's in their minds right now. Of course, it's all about money.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of different organizations that have gone to the city and to the county as of late to about different projects that are in the works. So it would be, in an ideal world, we could get them all done. But
oh, yeah. You know. Well, you know, you put forth, like you said, a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work from there.
Right. And, you know, we've had a lot of discussions at our meetings regarding natural playground equipment. And, you know, we could really do a lot of different things if we had a lot of money. So maybe we'll apply for a great big grant.
Well, I hope that would be successful if you do end up applying for one. We've got just a few more minutes left on the show, and I wanted to talk about, you said the original bathrooms were from the 40s, but is that when the park was established?
Well, it's hard to tell when the park was established. I know that the Forest Service office just down the road was originally the U.S. Forest Service, and that was established in and around 1933. So that park, their offices were there. And in the history that I've read, it's hard to determine exactly when the park, or at least Carolyn and I have not seen when that was founded. But we've been going since the 70s, and so it's...
Yeah, we don't know exactly when the shelters were built, but... The Forest Service built them originally.
Well, the Forest Service did build the first one. Then the Rec Department built the second one. And
right, the second one down the road.
There's two shelters
there.
There's
two.
Right.
So.
But the first one is where the bathrooms are.
Right. Well, there are bathrooms at both facilities.
Oh, okay. Yes. I didn't realize there was the second one.
Right. But so many people just don't realize the value of that park. And I think with us bringing... its profile up a little bit, I think people will appreciate it and use it more.
What I've seen and heard from individuals that live in the area, because there's a subdivision up past the park, as well as other people, is they've noticed a difference in the clientele as well as the cleanliness.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are very happy about what Friends of Rodman are doing. I think just our presence there alone, you know, on multiple occasions has helped the park out.
Now, this is a place where you can have a birthday party or a family gathering. And how would I, like if I wanted to reserve a shelter, for example, do I call the recreation department?
You call the rec department and they will post the fact that it is reserved on whatever day you want it on the bulletin board.
Right.
And then you can use it.
Because there's not a whole lot of places in town where that are great places to have birthday parties, and I know a lot of my friends are.
That's interesting you bring that up, because I tried to find out other cities that have natural parks. And as far as I'm no, there's not a whole lot to do. They have parks, but not necessarily a natural park.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think of this, like, city park that's downtown, it has the playground equipment and the basketball courts, but Rodman Park, does it still have the swings?
Yes.
The swings are there, and what I found out there is people come out there for solitude. They want to get away. They want to park. A lot of people will park and just read, or they'll eat by themselves, or you know, with someone else. But it's a place of solitude and
as many
tranquility,
places in nature,
really.
Right. Yeah, nature offers that.
Right. I've seen people out there playing the guitar at shelter number one. I've seen a lot of people go and walk their dog. I've been told many people walk their dogs daily out there just because it's such a nice place. It's very close to town, and it's a real gem of a place. And I urge everybody who's listening to take a walk, go out there, and just be quiet for a little while. It's just lovely.
Yeah. It is a great place. And that's all the time that we have here on Open Mic. I really appreciate you guys coming. The Friends of Rodburn Hollow Park, Carolyn Franzini and Fred House, thank you guys again for coming and telling us a little bit about your organization. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And that's all the time we have on Open Mic. We'll see you again next Friday.